Revenue is open. Good morning, everyone. We have a theme show today, estate taxes. So we're going to open simultaneously Senate Bill 137 and Senate Bill 870. Pause for a briefing from Christine.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 137 would just adjust the estate tax brackets for inflation so they would grow forward with inflation. And Senate Bill 870 would repeal the estate tax for any decedents dying after January 1st, 2017.
That's a brief briefing. We have two senators here to talk about these two bills. Would you both come up, please? Senators Hansel and DeBoer. I assume you're here on the, there are separate bills, or they're both the same one?
I'm on 870, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I'm on the second one, whatever that is. Or both of them, I guess.
Okay. Go ahead.
Chair Haas, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Senator Bill Hansel. I'm a senator for District 29, Northeastern and North Central Oregon. I come today in support of Senate Bill 870, the elimination of Oregon's estate tax. I have sponsored, have actually a bill 379 dealing with the estate tax. However, I'm happy to lend my support and urge the passing of Senate Bill 870, chief sponsored by my colleague, Senator Boquist. Currently, Oregon is only one of 13 states that charges an estate tax upon the death of one of its citizens. The estate tax applies to all estates that are valued at above $1 million. Oregon's tax range, anywhere from 0.8% all the way to 16%, is based on the value of the said estate. Senate Bill 870 allows individuals the opportunity to pass on to members of their families or beneficiaries all they have worked hard for over the years. Estates grow from earned income and investments made. The wealth that is acquired has already been exposed to taxation, perhaps multiple times, through payroll taxes and property taxes. Thus, many believe the estate tax to be a double tax by the state. The estate tax provides a distinctive for small and family-owned businesses and farms to grow, a disincentive for family-owned businesses and farms to grow and or expand, especially for family businesses that are preparing to pass it on to the next generation. The threat of this tax forces small business owners to pay expensive estate planning if they want to keep the business in the family. While the owner of the estate is responsible for the tax, it's their heirs that are responsible for the actual payment of the tax upon the death of the owner. For estates comprised mainly of liquid assets like land, coming up with the cash to pay the tax can be a major challenge. For many people in my district, the estate tax hurts the farmer and their family. My family, Hansel Farms, almost lost our farm to estate taxes when my grandparents passed away. It was a very hard time for the family. When individuals die, many of their children would love to continue the farming operation, but they are unable because they are required to pay the estate tax. Sometimes the tax is so burdensome, they must sell their land or a good portion of the farm just to cover the tax. In an email from Terry and Karen Thompson, a farming family from Heppner, a city in my district, they explain their situation as follows. And I quote, "I urge your support of Senate Bill 870. I am retired and approaching my 81st birthday. My son and his son represent the fourth and fifth generation operating an Eastern Oregon ranch, which has been in continuous ownership and operation since 1909. Whenever they continue to be able, whether or not they're able to continue to make a living from this property relies in part on your approval of Senate Bill 870. We have paid property and income taxes all our lives and currently face an ever-increasing estate tax when we pass on. This seems far from fair for us. 35 other states have passed laws curtailing or eliminating the estate tax and apparently feel the same way we do. It would be a terrible mistake, both morally and financially, to be forced to sell part of our property to pay the tax that ranch owners in 35 other states aren't burdened with. Again, I urge your support of Senate Bill 870. End of quote. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee for your time. I urge your support of Senate Bill 870. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Senator DeBoer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Senators. My name is Alan DeBoer. I'm the Senator from District 3, which is Southern Oregon. Thank you for allowing me to testify this morning. You will hear today, please, to repeal Oregon's estate tax. I am aware of the problems we face as a state and the hesitancy to give up income, but I bring a different view. We are forcing numerous Oregonians that are wealthy to leave our state. What we don't realize is that in many cases we lose their income taxes in the years before their death. There is much testimony from local families that their properties, ranches, and businesses have created great wealth, and the estate taxes will force their sale to pay the burden of taxes that may approach almost 50% of value, exceeding $1 million in Oregon and $5.4 million federally. Our rate can't be so high that we are not competitive with other states. The loss of income tax from those that leave our state is not calculated. The sale of property and assets to large corporations and outside investors are not good for our state, as local Oregonians take care of tenants, employees, and feel the Oregon spirit. An alternative to an outright appeal would be to increase the exemption either by indexing or raising the exemption, and or lowering the rate to 5% to allow those most affected to stay in Oregon, continue to support our state by their donations, income taxes, and yes, eventually a small portion of their estates. Thank you.
Thank you. Christina, do you have revenue figures on 137?
Mr. Chair, I do not. I'd have to look at the adjustment for inflation.
Questions of these two senators? Thank you both.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. We do have a sign-up sheet over there if you haven't signed up to testify on either 137 or 870. In the meantime, I'll go to Robert Greenstead.
Chair Haas, members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity to testify. We're down here from Portland today. We have a couple families here on spring break. Take a look at the Capitol and see what's going on. Here in the Finance and Revenue Committee, we're sitting in on a meeting. This turned out to be the day we're coming down, and we're looking at a bill that's going to reduce revenue. Meanwhile, in the schools that you know these students are in, they have teachers. They're going to lose teachers. And in a time when we're in such a revenue shortfall, this is not the time to talk about revenue. We just heard
your name on for the record.
Richard Greenstead.
Thank you.
You know, we just heard some testimony about kind of that fear tactic of the wealthy will leave. I don't believe that to be true. I think the people who love Oregon are going to stay in Oregon, and having their estate taxed is perfectly reasonable. Having something in there to protect farm families would be completely reasonable, but to completely eliminate all estate tax would be a certain mistake. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
You're a teacher?
I am not a teacher, no. I'm a parent.
Parent. Okay. Questions? All right. Thank you. Kevin Mannix, did you want to come up with your team?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning. I'm Kevin Mannix. I'm an attorney in Salem. I'm also president of an organization known as Common Sense for Oregon, and one of the issues that we focus on is the impact of taxes, especially the estate tax on Oregonians. And no, we are not opposed to all taxes. We're not opposed to necessary taxes. We do try to focus on tax reform where it will make a difference. And I have with me two gentlemen who have come in from out of town, and will be presenting testimony from a personal perspective, and I'll have them introduce themselves in a moment. I just want to introduce this topic from a global perspective. In 2002, all 50 states had estate taxes, and the reason they did was there was a partnership with the federal government where the estate tax at the state level was coupled with the estate tax at the federal level. And if you had 100 units of estate taxes to pay under that system, a certain portion would go to the state, another portion would go to the feds. The federal government would credit the amount paid to the state government. So it was a no-brainer for states to have estate taxes across the entire nation. Everyone who was paying an estate tax was participating in a system that was equivalent from state to state. In fact, the state would have been foolish not to have made itself part of that deal. But then the federal government changed the deal and phased out the credit so that as of 2005, the credit was gone. So any state estate tax would be in addition to the federal estate tax, simply put. Since then, 37 states, including California to the south, have eliminated their estate taxes, either through attrition, that is, not renewing them, or by passing legislation to eliminate them. We're down to 13 states that still have estate taxes. Of the 13 remaining states, there are only three west of the Mississippi that have estate taxes. Oregon is one of them. To the north, Washington has an estate tax, but their exemption is more than twice the exemption in Oregon, and they have a working exemption for timberland and farmland to protect family-owned timberland and farmland from being having to be sold off upon the death of a generation. Oregon has a natural resources exemption, which is, to use a word I've heard it used over in the House, clunky. It is very hard to use. It is hard to understand. I had a law clerk spend a couple hours yesterday still trying to discern how to make that thing work. And farmers and ranchers and timberland owners tell me it's very difficult. And actually, you have to be pretty wealthy and hire experts to help run you through this process for about 16 years in order to make it work. 8 years before you die, 5 out of 8 years, and then 5 out of 8 years after you die. Very complicated system. We start out with a bill today where you'll hear from the heart from a couple of people, and I'll be glad to follow up with some technical information. We start with a bill that has a broad relating clause relating to the Oregon estate tax. There's a reason for that. Usually you see very narrow relating clauses for a good reason. You don't want to see amendments. You don't want to see people take the bill and do something else with it. We would love to see something done with this bill. We know the governor has some issues about people who are late payers on estate taxes and would like to see some penalties imposed on people that are not doing their duty and paying their taxes on time. That could be absorbed in here. We would love to discuss refining and cleaning up the natural resources exemption so that it really can work and so that the family farm that's worth $3 million can qualify without having to spend tens of thousands of dollars on lawyers and accountants. We'd like to see some changes made so that you don't have to spend all kinds of money on appraisals, because if you come near that $1 million level, all of a sudden you've got to have everything appraised to see whether or not you go over it, or $2 million for a couple. It gets very expensive. Beyond that, there is speculation, but I'd say more than speculation, about the impact on our Oregon income tax. We've submitted a report from 2012 by Pasadena and Fruits, which did an evaluation of the impact of the estate tax and said that actually, if you got rid of the estate tax, within 5 years, your income tax revenues would exceed, the additional revenues would exceed what you've lost in terms of the estate tax revenues because of the impact on willingness on investors and retirees to move here and reside here, and the reduced willingness of people who are already here and successful to leave the state. Simply put, I'm not an estate planning lawyer, but I've talked to plenty of them. And the advice they give to folks who have some kind of wealth that they've put together is move out of state. Move out of state because there are 37 other states where you can live and have no estate tax. And if you stay out of state for 6 months and a day every year, you can still have a place in Oregon. It could be your second home. But be a resident of another state, because you are then a non-resident taxpayer in Oregon. And then you only pay taxes on your Oregon source of income, which means if you're really smart, you divest yourself of all your investments in Oregon. Buy national or international stock. That can be your source of income. Buy a business somewhere else, and you only pay taxes in Oregon on Oregon income. So there is a process here where if we massage this, you could stage step a reform of the Oregon estate tax where we don't have a tremendous fiscal impact, say, this year, but over the next 3, 4, 5 years, we could change the estate tax to make us attractive to investors, not attractive to those who might consider leaving, and at the same time, preserve our family farms and timberland. If you want to worry about corporate America or international corporations taking over Oregon land, use this estate tax bill as a vehicle to protect that. I try to tell my environmental friends, if we like Oregon being free and open, let's do something about the estate tax, because the best stewards of our land are our farmers, our family timberland owners, our ranchers who want to preserve that heritage. And you'll hear from a gentleman in a minute who's got 95 years in on a 100-year family farm. That heritage can be best protected if we're smart about redesigning our estate tax. We invite the committee to consider this bill to be a vehicle for that kind of conversation this session, to start a process. Thank you. I'd like to introduce first Mr. Voltz and then Mr. Klompa, and I'll have them introduce themselves to the committee. And I'm happy to answer any questions at your discretion.
Mr. Chair, Senators, I'm Jim Voltz. I'm from LeGrand. And first I'd like to thank you for just having this opportunity to tell you a little bit about my family and how the estate tax is going to affect us. My granddad Voles, in June of 1922, purchased a small 25-acre farm just outside of LeGrand. My dad was born and raised in LeGrand. He grew up on the farm. I was born and raised in LeGrand. I grew up on the farm also. My son, an only child, was actually born in Portland, but he grew up on the farm and actually grew up in the original farmhouse, which was, best we can tell, was built in about 1882, and that's where my wife and I still live today. Like Mr. Maddox said, in 5 years, our little farm will be a century farm. In 1936, my granddad Voles also purchased 160 acres of timberland just on Fox Hill, just right outside of LeGrand. The story my dad told is that he paid 35 cents an acre for that land. In the 50s, my dad and my granddad purchased some additional acreage, which adjoined that 160 acres. And in 1995, my dad and I, we purchased an additional 325 acres, which gave us a total of 1,100 acres, adjoining acres, up on Fox Hill. And we paid $325 an acre in 1995 for that 325 acres. In 2007, a parcel of land containing 117 acres, which adjoined our property up there, it sold for $209,000. That's $1,786 an acre. You can't even build on that. It takes 240 acres to be able to build on property up on in this area, up on Fox Hill. If you multiply 1,100 times 1,786, that's a whole lot of money. Our small 25-acre farm is, like I said, it's just outside of LeGrand. We have riverfront property right on the Grand Round River. We also have the oldest active water right on the river. The water right was issued in 1866, and I have no idea what this would be worth today. It's not about owning acres or value. There's a lot of other things that come into play with generations on the same land. My granddad and my dad, they were known in the Grand Round Valley for raising really good crops. They were weed-free, and they took really good care of the land. In 2014, I was awarded the Union County Good Steward Award for some work I did on our farmland adjacent to the river to enhance the native fish population in the river. Also, about 20 years ago, my dad and I decided that we were going to put in a wildlife area right next to the river. Since that time, I planted a little over 1,000 trees there, and that wildlife area is used by deer. We have a lot of quails, a pheasant now and then. Fox comes to visit once in a while. And it's really a well-used, diverse little wildlife area. The Voles family has always taken equally good care of their timberland. In 2005, our family received the Union County Tree Farmer of the Award, Tree Farmer of the Year Award. And then that fall, myself, my dad, and my son, we went to Portland, and we received recognition as being...
Mr. Boltz, maybe you could summarize your conclusion.
Okay. To summarize, then I guess I would say that part of what we've done on the timberland is we've created some wildlife areas. Wildlife areas are well used by deer, elk, bear, cougar, so on and so forth. 4 years ago, I consulted a tax attorney, and I was informed that if me and my wife were to die that day, that our son would owe the state of Oregon $1.3 million. That's huge. That's beyond huge. I'm a retired after serving 30 years in law enforcement. My wife is retired after serving 32 years as emergency department nurse. We're middle class America. Our son is a law enforcement officer for the U.S. Forest Service. His wife is a mom for a two-year-old and works 2 days a week as a bookkeeper. They're middle class America. If my son was forced to, because of taxes, to subdivide the farm, then the prime building area is going to be right on the riverfront, right in the middle of the wildlife area. That's going to be destroyed. The Century Farm will be gone. Same holds true for the timberland. If he's forced to sell some of that, he's going to have to sell 240 acres. That's what's buildable, and there's no way you can cut out 240 acres without going right into the wildlife areas that we've developed, and that's going to, you know, destroy what has evolved over four generations. And I just hope that, you know, during your deliberations, you can choose to keep the estate tax as it is. And yes, it will generate some revenue for the state of Oregon over the next few years, but that is going to cause the loss of some things in Oregon that I think a lot of us hold dear that you just can't buy with money. I would be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Why don't we go to...
We have Benjamin Clapper here, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. Since I'm still learning English, maybe I should just read my short letter here because it's just one page. And I will start by mentioning that we came as refugees to Oregon, directly to Oregon in 1984. And I was 26 at the time. I've been paying taxes ever since, probably millions of dollars. As my business grew, I'm doing real estate and also senior care, which I've been doing for 30 years. when we came empty-handed. We just had five little kids and nine bags. Yet we started working right away and contributing to paying taxes and so on. I will mention that now we have a family of 43, which are children and grandchildren. We had three more children here. Unfortunately, my wife passed away with cancer last year. So I guess part of the estate, due to existing laws, is gone already. At the same time, I would mention that it's interesting, and I feel it's unfair because if I was to leave my estate to one person, it would be the same amount as I would be leaving to 43, which is of the family I have right now and still growing, by the way. So I would probably, because senior care is related to real estate, as you know, because they need housing, then I would have to sell some of those properties or the children would have to sell, which would cause a lot of hardship on the existing business. I will mention that, you know, the 43 family members that I have, they're all taxpayers, and they will be taxpayers, some of them, if we think of the grandchildren, which will benefit Oregon. During this time, I gave jobs to a lot of people, which would not benefit of the jobs they had if we had to sell. At the same time, a lot of people that are doing business, because I have some commercial properties, they would have to be relocated in case of sale, and so that's not good for Oregon either. So I very seriously consider moving, and I wonder if we looked at the demographics, how many people are coming here and who's coming here and who's leaving the state. But that is not good for Oregon, because I feel like many people in my situation are moving out of state. And if we would look at the indirect effect of not paying the tax, in fact, I wonder, as you probably know, and from what I found out, we are among the very few states that are paying estate tax. And the others are either at the federal level or it's just that they're completely exempt. So I would appreciate if you would give serious consideration at the indirect effect that not paying the estate tax would have in Oregon, because I think it would be a positive effect and it would actually increase the revenue that the state gets. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Klappa, and to you, Mr. Bowles, for bringing your stories to the Capitol. Appreciate it very much.
And Mr. Chairman, may I add one thing?
Sure.
I have submitted to the committee as an exhibit a listing, since I've seen letters, some say 35, some say 34, whatever, a listing of, as far as we know, the actual 37 states that have eliminated their estate taxes and the 13 states that still have estate taxes. And I would note that Oregon is tied with Massachusetts for the worst state estate taxes in the nation, a $1 million exemption and a top rate of 16%. All of the other 11 states have higher exemption levels or lower, and a combination with some have the same rates, but they have higher exemption levels. And if we have a further conversation, I'd be glad to offer up ideas about farms and timberland and open space and families and small family-owned businesses and how there might be a stair-step process to build into our legislation some protection for those.
Let me ask you, do you think there's a room for change that keeps this revenue neutral?
Yes, if it's done over 5 or 6 years. It would take some work, but yes, I think it could be done where it's revenue neutral for this biennium, and then as it steps in, if certain steps have been taken, I think we can make some projections about how we enhance other revenues as a result.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's, you know, I mean, we heard that concern here, that this tax brings in about $100 million a year, $126 million last year, and that's significant. And I think there are people who would argue that there is some policy reason for having an estate tax. But if you're going to just get rid of it, we need to, you know, pay for schools, and state police, and all those other things that the state is responsible for. So what's a suitable way to replace it, given what the federal government is doing and what other states are doing?
Well, in fact, I think part of the revenue neutral protocol might involve taking a look at what happens with the federal estate tax, which will go anywhere from nothing to full elimination from what we hear out of Washington, D.C. Right now, I wouldn't plan on anything out of Washington, D.C. as to that. Instead, rely on what could happen here. But I would be happy to work with legislative revenue and committee staff on and members of the committee as they wish on some creative stair-step solutions relating or revolving around the estate tax that could be revenue neutral or projected revenue neutral, but at the same time provide some buffers for the kinds of family-owned farms, timberland, family businesses that we've discussed here.
Questions for this panel? Senator Boquist?
No, I'm going to keep my mouth shut today.
I'll follow Senator Volquist's lead.
Good discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There's no one else to testify here today on either Senate Bill 137 or Senate Bill 870. We'll close the public hearing on those two bills, and we have nothing else before us today. We are not going to be meeting again until next Monday at 8:30. So until then, we're adjourned.
2 minutes.
We're adjourned.
2 minutes.
So until then.